State of the Church Today, Issue 3, June 14, 2026. A weekly digest of Southern Baptist, Reformed, and broader theological news, curated for pastors and elders. Orlando has adjourned. Willie Rice is the new SBC president. Moeller's Truth and Unity Amendment cleared its first two-thirds vote, and missions giving hit a long-sought milestone. But the new president's press conference claim that the abuse crisis was weaponized has reopened the wound the convention spent the week trying to close. Next, SBC and Convention Watch. Willie Rice elected president. Clearwater, Florida. Pastor Willie Rice, Calvary Baptist Church, won the SBC presidency on the first ballot June 9, taking 5,217 votes, 57.56%. to Josh Powell's 3,821, 42.16%. Rice framed the office as representing the churches rather than an entity or committee, but his record as a skeptic of the convention's abuse response made the win immediately contested. The Truth and Unity Amendment clears its first vote. Al Mohler's amendment, barring churches that affirm, appoint, or endorse a woman as pastor, and naming the act of preaching as reserved to the office, passed 6,028 to 2,026, 76.66%, comfortably over the two-thirds bar. Because it is a constitutional amendment, it must clear a confirming vote at the 2027 meeting in Indianapolis before taking effect. Missions Giving crosses the 51% line. Messengers approved a cooperative program budget directing 51% of national receipts, roughly $94.86 million, to the International Mission Board, completing a reallocation Southern Baptists first voted to pursue in 2010. A floor amendment from Benjamin Cole seeking an additional $8 million priority allocation was rejected. The shift redirects more than $2 million to the IMB beginning October 2026. 8 resolutions pass. Messengers adopted resolutions June 10 on disability ministry, assisted suicide, political violence, anti-Semitism, and immigration, among others. The immigration resolution affirmed the dignity of every person regardless of national origin, while backing lawful immigration enforcement carried out justly, humanely, and according to due process, and, as in recent years, omitted the older path to status language. Tired of task forces. Of 30 motions from the floor, roughly a third asked for new task forces or study committees, and messengers declined 9 of them. It is a telling mood. After the abuse reform implementation effort was disbanded without delivering the long-promised database of credibly accused ministers, the convention is wary of referring hard problems to yet another committee. Next, Reformed and Confessional. PCA heads to Louisville with the Nationalism Report in hand. The Presbyterian Church in America's 53rd General Assembly convenes June 22 to 26 at the Kentucky International Convention Center. The Ad Interim Committee on Christian Nationalism, chaired by David Strain, 1st Presbyterian, Jackson, Mississippi, has released a partial report carrying 2 recommendations, anchored by a set of affirmations and denials meant to mark the bounds of acceptable opinion in the denomination. Whether the assembly adopts, amends, or recommits, it will signal how the PCA intends to handle the theonomy and nationalism conversation. Next, theology and doctrine. What tier is the pastorate? The Truth and Unity Amendment does more than restate the Baptist faith and message. It makes a church's view of women in the pastoral office a test of cooperation and names preaching itself as part of that office. That forces the old intramural question back to the surface. Is complementarianism a first-order, fellowship-defining conviction, or a second- or third-order matter on which the faithful may differ? It is a question every confessional eldership eventually has to answer for itself, and the SBC has now answered it at the level of its constitution. Next, culture and church state. A narrow win for pastors on Social Security. In the ERLC's report to Messengers June 9, the entity highlighted the Clergy Act, bipartisan legislation recently passed by the House, that would open a 2-year window for ministers who previously opted out of Social Security and Medicare to opt back in. It is a small, concrete piece of relief for pastors who made an irrevocable seeming decision early in ministry, and worth flagging to any clergy in your church who may qualify. The pulpit endorsement question is still unsettled. A federal judge in Texas declined this spring to approve the IRS settlement that would have exempted traditional religious communications from the Johnson Amendment's ban on candidate endorsements, ruling he lacked jurisdiction. The National Religious Broadcasters has said it will appeal. Until the courts resolve it, the safest counsel for churches remains unchanged. The law on the books still bars partisan endorsements from the pulpit. Next, also worth noting, the new president's first storm. At his June 10th press conference, Willie Rice said the abuse crisis absolutely was weaponized, just like the Me Too movement, and denied there had ever been a systematic cover-up by denominational leaders. Survivors and advocates reacted sharply. Abuse survivor Tiffany Thigpen said those who place institution and platform above the vulnerable had worked to ensure no reform moved forward. The exchange means Rice's tenure begins with the very fight the convention's force for good messaging was meant to move past. Next, for the elders' desk. The convention spent its energy on a boundary it could draw cleanly, who may stand in the pulpit, and then, almost in the same breath, stumbled over the boundary it has never managed to keep, protecting the vulnerable from those already in the pulpit. The first is easier to legislate than the second is to live. A question for your elders this week. When a credible accusation reaches us, will our instinct be to protect the flock or to protect the name of the church? The amendment we are quickest to pass is rarely the test that actually comes for us. That's this week's State of the Church Today. Forward it to a fellow elder.